Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, Lord God, we do. We just thank you for... Oh, thank you for going to the cross for us. Oh, how could we ever thank you enough? We could not. And Lord, we're just in such awe and thanksgiving for that love. Lord God, that grace, that mercy, and Father, that you gave him to us. Lord, help us to awaken to this love plan. Oh, this love of the Godhead, this Trinity of love. Lord, let us just move into it, Jesus, and accept it all and embrace it all, Lord God, to know the love of Christ. And Lord, we're here today. And Lord, your grace has quickened us this morning. Yes, we're alert to it, alive, awakened, Lord God. We're not slumbering in the night. Lord, there is a call that's coming, and it's the voice of the beloved, the bridegroom. And Lord, you're going to call us away. And Lord, it's soon, so soon. And Lord, let us always to have that encouragement, Jesus, no matter what we face, no matter what we go through, Lord God, no matter how it looks, the Lord loves us. And oh my, whom he loves, he does not forsake. And his word is true, and we're looking for your appearing. And may it be today, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise his name. Let's go on over to Matthew chapter 4. Such a good subject to talk about. We're going to talk about temptation. How marvelous. I know that got the hair up on some backs here today. And that's all right. I'm thanking God that we can go to this throne of grace boldly. And Lord, to enlighten the eyes of our understanding in these things. And not to be fearful. But to approach this life in the perfect love wherewith we are loved. Because it's in perfect love that love casts out all fear. And we thank God that we have this. It's not something I'm begging him for. I got it because he loves me. So we thank him for this. But in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1, it says there, Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Did you read that there? Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So it was the Spirit that brought Jesus to the tempter. Amen? Because we know this and we rejoice in this, and God gives us such grace and peace in this. It tells us in James 1:13 that it says, let no man say when he is tempted that I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So God does not tempt any man. But yet Jesus was led up of the Spirit, praise God, into the wilderness to be tempted. So praise be to God, it is God that allows us to be tempted for our good. Amen. Now, here is Jesus, led by the Spirit. And the Word responds, as you know this story and you know it, the Word responds in complete victory over all of Satan's attempts. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And we are greatly encouraged, and we see this, that the victory over Satan always is the Word of God. It's always the Word. Praise God for this. But I want you to understand this. It's the Word, Christ Jesus himself, and specifically Christ Jesus in you, that is greater than he that is in the world. It's already there. That victory is already there. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Think how beautiful that is. That's how faithful he is. Even when your mind freezes, even when you think, oh, I don't know what else I can say, Jesus lives in me. Jesus lives in me. Praise be to God, I'm his. I'm bought with a price. I am his. Jesus lives in me. That victory lives in me. That's just a fact, and it's a fact of God. And I thank the Lord for it. I thank God for the scriptures I know. I thank God for the scriptures, praise God, that he gives. And that quickening of the Holy Ghost, it's marvelous. But the one thing I can know always, Jesus lives in me. And he that lives in me is greater than who? Than he that lives in the world. Now, brothers and sisters, in that, I'm going to tell you something. We do not need to fear temptation. We do not need to fear it. Jesus said, we will have trouble in this world. You got trouble? Yes, you do. But he said, be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. I'm not overcoming the world. I'm not trying to get it all completed here. I have done it. The victory has been won. Praise be to God. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. I have that same overcoming power living in me, because the I am that I am is the life that lives in me. I'm just excited about it. I don't need to pump it up. It's just a fact. But I should be excited about it, because it's a fact that God, hallelujah, his precious son, his life lives in me. Isn't that marvelous? It don't matter how I feel. That life lives in me. That's a fact. Hallelujah. Oh, I love the word of God. Now, here's the icing on the cake. Instead of fearing temptation, let's see the glory that's even in it for us. James 1:2, this same precious James. I love this brother so much. And it's so sad. People take this book out of context. They try to twist it around like it's some oil. See, it's legal and you got to keep and you got to do this. Let me tell you something. Just read the very first verses and receive it. Look what James said in verse 2. This was the Holy Ghost speaking through James. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into manifold temptations. Right there, I'm confident at least half of them that he was speaking to just said, this guy's nuts, we're out of here. And that's the truth. Think of that. You have somebody coming in here saying, well, let's count it all joy. You got a bunch of temptation, let's just praise the Lord. That's what the Lord is telling you here. When you have this, praise the Lord. Did Jesus go down or did Jesus go up when the Spirit led him out there to the wilderness? Come on. Oh, Lord, do this today. Do this. Now, you'd say, how could James say that? Well, let's go on over to 1 Corinthians 10:13, and I think this shines complete light on why James could say, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. Not when you got one temptation, but in manifold, different ones, divers, deep ones, all of that, count it all joy. Here's why. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. So how could James say that to be joyful in it? Because God is with you. That was pretty weak. God is with you. He's right there. That's what's so marvelous about it. Thank him. Don't doubt him. David even said it. He said, though I make my bed in hell. How did he get there? Temptation. Those weren't good choices. But he was still there with me. And I believe that this didn't catch God by surprise, because he said, oh, by the way, honey, I've already made the way of escape. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Paul went further testifying of it in the height there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul said, I glory in my infirmities. And don't just think that's infirmities. Let's throw temptation right in there. I glory in those temptations. And it was the Lord, praise God, that sent what? He sent a messenger of Satan. Isn't that something? Why did he need the messenger of Satan? Because he needed the tempter. Because God wasn't going to do the tempting, but I got the guy to do it. Have you seen my servant Job, devil? You haven't even seen him. Because you're not going to see anything unless I show it to you, devil. But I'm going to lift up the hedge. I'm going to show him to you. And you're going to go ahead and get at him. But you're not going to take his life. Oh, no, you're not. You're going to do what you want. But I'm going to show forth, because of my grace and my faithfulness, I'm going to show you a man that loves me. I'm going to send a messenger of Satan. I'm going to send you Paul, the tempter, to do it. And I want you to understand this. This is so beautiful. At the same time that Paul is writing about this here in 2 Corinthians, it's AD 57, all right? AD 57. And he's writing this, they believe, somewhere around in the summer. At the same time, he is writing right there in that same window of time, within months. He's writing the letter to the Romans. And specifically, I think of that Romans chapter 7. So I want to put this in context. So you got Paul here. He's been glorying in these revelations that the Lord's given him about the bridal message. He's beside himself. It's been quite a few years since he's been seeing it, but he's still beside himself. Are you still beside yourself? Are you still glorying in those revelations? Huh? Huh? Is your glory rejoicing? Remember Friday night? That's the problem with God's precious people. They have glory, but their glory ain't rejoicing. Paul's glory rejoiced. This message, this bridal encouragement makes glory rejoice. And it's your glory. Yes, it does, doesn't it? It's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's proud of the gospel. You're thankful for the gospel. I'm thankful for this crown I have. I know I didn't earn it, but he gave it to me. If God gave it to me, I'll tell you what, he wants me to hold it fast because I got it. That no man take it. No man. Not your opinion and not even mine. I'm trusting him for my life, just like you trust him for your life. And we trust him together, praise God, because he is our life. Praise the Lord. So here was Paul glorying, soul, and rejoicing in this revelation of this truth that the Lord had given. But right then, God said, okay, Paul, I know you. I know you, Jesse. I know you, Lynn. I know you, Mark. I know you, Scott. I know you, everybody out here. And I can't let you be exalted. So I've got to send you a messenger of Satan. Who's going to buffet you? He's going to beat you up. Oh, yes, he is. And you notice what he sent there was a thorn. Amen? All right? And if you remember, it was a thorn in the what? In the flesh. Not a thorn in the spirit. Uh-uh. Not in the inner man. A thorn in the flesh. All right? The weak, sinful flesh. So let's think about this. Paul speaks of Romans 7 at the same time. He says, the evil that I would not, that I do. The evil that I would not, that I do. But that's my flesh. That's not Christ in me. Only with the flesh, Paul goes on to say, I serve sin. Not the spirit. Not the new man. Not the inner man, not who he is in Christ, not the victory that's always in the new man, because the Spirit of the Lord lives in us. Praise God. I walk in the Spirit, I live in the Spirit, because the Spirit of the Lord lives in me. Thanks be to God. That's who I am in Christ. So I thank the Lord. I see the difference here. I get it. that the Lord, in his faithfulness, will send me a thorn and thorns. And praise the Lord, they're only in my flesh. They're not in that new man. No, they're not. That's brand new. That's all things have been made new. That's like him new. That's his life new. That's justified, in whom he justified, he glorified new. Thank the Lord. Read about a scientist even this morning. It was kind of interesting. Just a little quip. And I said, oh, Lord, how you give me those things? He made a discovery. Your behavior, your biology, it's in your DNA. Well, I guess we're all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. What do you think? I was born messed up. Praise the Lord. I didn't have to grow up to get messed up. I was born messed up. It's in my DNA. And it's precise. He knew me in the womb. He gave me every infirmity and every need that I would ever need so that he could bestow all the riches of his glory. Oh, I love it. I'm so thankful I get God. I get God. And that was the way that Moses said it this way. He knew his ways. Thank you, Lord. And it's a way of mercy, and it's a way of grace. Now, so, brothers and sisters, this is what is so beautiful, is this precious life that lives in us. Now, the legalist is always trying to claim that Paul's thorn was some type of a sickness, it was a sight problem, it was a skin problem, but if it was a physical problem, if it was a physical issue, I believe it would have been included when Paul was boasting and saying about how he was stoned so many times and he was shipwrecked so many times and for Christ's sake. But the reason that it's not listed in that is because this thorn was different. This thorn was deeper. This thorn, praise be to God, was challenging to his faith. Amen? Think of this, brothers and sisters. When you get those kind of trials, in a sense where, you know, whether it's your sight or whether it's your skin or whether it's your health, you know, I guess you could feel bad about something that maybe you thought you brought on or whatever. I know God gave me that. I got up here and yeah, I did. I had MRSA twice, almost killed me. It did. I didn't sit there and go, oh, man, what did I do wrong? What did I do to bring that upon me? That was an easy one. God gave it to me. God brought that to my life. God brought that to my life to look more to him about my health, about all those things. That's easy. Paul been walking with the Lord for a long time here, that kind of stuff. And I'm not giving Paul any credit, but he knew the Lord better than that. Get it. Understand this. So we understand here, this wasn't that kind of a problem. It was different, and it was the most challenging of faith. See what happens, brothers and sisters. Do we really, really believe that Christ lives in us no matter what? Think of that. Does the Spirit of Christ live in you? Yes, it does. If you're a child of God, it sure does. Yes, it does. Now, we're so thankful to God. Now, I'm not talking of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking the Spirit of the Lord, not his might. So understand that. You do need to be filled with the Holy Ghost to have the power of his might in your life. So don't go twisting things the Bible doesn't say. But I do believe that Christ lives in me no matter what. And I'll tell you what, do we really believe that we have a life that is ordered? Do you believe you have a life that's ordered? Huh? Do you believe that Paul's life and David's life, I think it's written in the Word of God, old David's life is written about more than about anybody else. Do you think his life was ordered of the Lord, especially since it's the written Word of God? Have you ever really thought about that? David's life was the written word of God. What's your life? It's Christ Jesus that's in your life, right? Isn't that the written word of God? Aren't you an epistle read of men? Praise be to God. What will we allow this? And the word is the same yesterday, today, and forever, so it's not going to be any new word, but how much of this word and what of this word will you allow to be written in your life? Amen. We want all of it. Praise God. But see, if we really believe that, again, that our lives are ordered of the Lord, then you know what's ordered of the Lord? We will fail. We will fail. Some people say, well, brother, why do you preach on this? Because we need it. Because we drift so quickly. Because we're sheep. And you got flesh. And that flesh can get stirred real, real fast. And by the grace of God, we're going to stand together in the Lord and we're going to shut that down. Shut it down. Not a little leaven. By the grace of God, because it leavens the whole lump. It'll take joy out of here so fast, there'll be no more praise. Just be a bunch of turkeys pecking one another. And you know it. Watching. Oh, who's doing what? How's this working? Are you doing that again? There was a time, my heart breaks for Brother Hill, because he would preach about it and all of that. And it was here. And it was. And I don't want to have to see God do what he did to get it out of here. Amen? We need to pray for one another. And we need to go and grow in the one thing, grace. But I thank God for this because it's ordered, brothers and sisters, we will fail. But we've got a promise. Though he fall. His right hand doth uphold him. See, that's the beautiful thing, brothers and sisters. We won't be utterly cast down. The right hand of God upholds us. And think about what's at the right hand. The right hand always speaks of authority. The right hand, I'll tell you what, it speaks of my queen. Where is Jesus sitting right now? He's at the right hand of the Father. It's always the one that's going to be given the throne. Praise be to God. That's why it's his right hand that upholds us. That's all we're set for if we'll just believe him. Oh, thank you, God. Now, I get it, brothers and sisters. I am the weaker vessel. Praise God. I'm the weaker vessel. Of my husband, I know. Praise be to God. But I also know this. I'm his desire. And I also know this, he will not take that throne and cannot take that throne, and neither can I take that throne without each other. Just as important, just as vital. That's what he is, again, that's the plan of God. That's what he's brought us into. That's what we are of him, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. He did it all. He paid it all. But this is what he has determined and with his blood what he has brought. That's the value that we are to God. Do you understand this? Do you really receive that? Brothers and sisters, we have been woven in this plan of God, not somewhere down the road, but from beginning. The oneness of the two made one in every stitch from the foundation of the world. This is the very plan of God that was there for us. He saw us in love at that time. We've went through this many, many times. God help us if this is the day we make that step. And truly believe that his foreknowledge, it not only circled you out, it embraced you in a rib. Now, I thank God I realize the beauty in temptation. I do. Eve was tempted. Was it a bad thing? To everybody else, it's a bad thing, pretty much. Or was it the beautiful plan of God that she would have Nowhere else to turn but grace. Well, it would have been better for her to not have done that. No, it wouldn't. It would not have. She would have never received the grace, the mercy. She would never come to that wonderful knowledge of the blood. It's truth. It's truth. She would have never. Can we receive the same beauty in that? Or somehow we're exempt from that? Oh, I'm a better Christian. No, you're not. You're just an ignorant one if you don't understand it. I don't want to be ignorant. God don't want me ignorant. Think about the thorns in David. Without those thorns, you'd never read a 23rd Psalm. Without those thorns, you'd never read any of them Psalms. Without the thorn, praise God, I'm telling you, Paul would have never stood in grace. Without that thorn, Paul would have never stood in grace. He would have moved from grace. He would have been exalted. God knows us. God knows us. He knows what we need. He knows what would happen to us if it wasn't for his faithfulness that he afflicts us. This isn't some strange thing, this fiery trial. Zipping along a lot of my Christian life and then, uh-oh, what's that? Huh? Well, let's close it with a what that. See, without that thing, brothers and sisters, that Paul so wanted him to get rid of, without the thing that he wanted to get rid of, he said he sought the Lord three times to get that thorn away from me. That, uh-oh, what is this? Without that, he would have never worn the crown. Never worn it. He loved suffering for Christ's sake, didn't he? We know that. But let's be honest, he sure didn't think that that thorn was suffering for Christ's sake. Why would he want to get rid of something that he knew would be to his glory? Because he didn't realize it, did he? But it was that thorn, praise God, that would be his crowning. It was the beauty of the thorn that made Paul lowly enough. It was the thorn that made Paul despised enough in Paul's own eyes. Praise God, that he could finally see and embrace the plan of mercy, that the Lord would bestow upon him the riches of his glory. This is our heritage. This is our heritage. And yet somehow I walk so fearful through this life. Oh, no, brother. No, brother. No way. We are so wonderfully and fearfully made. See one another in the beauty of that truth. The grace of God that's with us. I know lots of your trials. I know lots of your temptations. So thankful I do. Because I grow. I grow in grace. I grow in his mercy. I'm growing at a rate I could never grow without you. It's marvelous. Now, today I do pray, all of us, maybe never see temptation the same way. Huh? And not that we yield to it. So somebody that's still a little bitter sitting in here today or listening. Ah, that pastor. Like I said, not that we yield to it, bitter brother. Brother bitter.
There could be sister bitter too. God forbid. And the reason that we don't yield to it is because we have the life of Christ in us. But the thing is, when we see God's grace is still with us, when we see God's grace is still with us, even in the temptation, you know what happens? That temptation doesn't seem that powerful anymore. I made my bed in hell, but wait a second, Jesus is here. Hell got pretty good. Because I sure can't pull myself out of there. Why do you think he groaned to put off this corruptible? You ever stop groaning to put off this corruptible? You're a sorry one. I groan, but I'm so thankful I get God. I know his ways. I think you do too. I see smiles of broken hearts that just say, thank you, Jesus. Man, temptations used to sting me so bad. But thanks be to God, I'm skipping. I see those things shot at me anymore. Oh, they're just falling helplessly to the ground. Oh, they're still in my flesh. They're still a thorn. I ain't got a splinter in here today. It was bothering me for a minute. Ain't bothering me now. And it's still there. Now, do we thank Jesus? Did he take everything at the cross for you? Did he take your temptations too? I believe he's promised that because he said, with them I also made the way of escape. And what's the escape? I finished it. It is finished. That's the escape. I made the way of escape. I finished it. That's escape all the time. My blood, my grace, my power, my mercy. Huh? Come on, Christian. That life that lives in you, praise God. Let it praise God today and thank Jesus for it. Praise be to God. He conquered everything. All my temptation right on that cross. And praise be to God, I do stand in the newness of his life. And I stand in it always. And I stand only in that life. And praise be to God, I'm just living the victory till I see Jesus. That's it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just thank him and praise God for it, brothers and sisters. Just believe God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for you so loved us that you gave him to us. You gave him freely and fully. You did not withhold a thing. And in what you gave, how could you not give us freely also all things? And Lord, thank you for this liberty that we have. Thank you, God, for the victory that we have. And Lord, thank you again for this knowledge and wisdom and understanding, God, of who we are in Christ. And thank you, Lord, we're understanding a little bit more. Thank you, Jesus. As you said before, you went, greater things than I did, ye shall do. Lord, this is it. With the weakened vessels that we are receiving this grace. Oh my, the power of your resurrection that's doing this. It continues to raise us up, God, above ourselves, above the criticism, above all of the things that pull at our lives, all of these things that want to entangle ourselves, the affairs of this life. But Lord God, this life is not our life. It's not. We are seated in the heavens in Christ. Now are we the sons of God. And we are seated right there with you, Jesus, in that right hand. Hallelujah. And Lord, we do await and we do expect and we do anticipate, Lord Jesus. Lord, we have the crown. And Lord God, we will share that wondrous throne with you.
Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the abounding hope. Thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost. And thank you so, God, for that grace that is alive and living in us, Lord Jesus, till you come. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, praise his name.